bless me. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 290, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks and bless His name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when He said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, Lo, I come, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we try again in this afternoon, when we may be gathered in thy house, to draw nigh to thee. Wilt thou give to us that spirit of grace and of supplications, that we may know who we are in thy sight, and that we may be humbled in the dust before thee. But Lord, we do not even know for what to pray of ourselves. By nature, we do not even know our need. And we see not a reason to pray. Often for the natural things, then we feel those needs from time to time. So much taken for granted, but sometimes it is withheld, and then we are brought to our knees. Lord, then we have another need, a spiritual need. But how can we know it when we are dead in trespasses and in sins? And Lord, that is therefore in the first place what our request is from thee in this afternoon hour. Lord, we beseech thee for life from the dead. Thou dost say in thy word, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So it is. That is the place we brought ourselves. Thou didst threaten us, and we have gone our own way in our father Adam. And now we reap the fruits thereof. Lord, we can receive nothing except thou will give it to us from above. And therefore, that is our request of thee. Lord, wilt thou come in this afternoon hour to give us what we cannot give ourselves, what we cannot desire, and what we cannot pray for in truth, to give to us that spiritual quickening. Oh, it would be the greatest wonder when one may receive that quickening. And yet our request, that is not even just for one, Lord. No, we have so many souls that may be with us in this afternoon. And there is not one that can do without it. Oh, then we beseech of thee, leave not a hoof behind. But wilt thou remember us all together? Oh, thou art so mighty, and thy voice is powerful, and thy voice is full of majesty. And when thou wilt speak one word, oh, then there will be life from the dead. Lord, remember us for thy name's sake. Glorify thyself in the salvation of our souls and in the instruction also of thy own people. And thou knowest their place. Each one that is thine own, we do not know them. They are often hidden from us. Lord, thou knowest them. Maybe they are those that do not know themselves, that are but a riddle to themselves, and that see nothing but death, condemnation, sin, transgression, and that feel nothing but grief. Oh, grant in this day a little opening. Lord, show to them thy Son. Bring to an end of the law. Show the righteousness of God. and thy only begotten Son, completely fulfilled for a wretched and an undone creature, that there may be also a something of that blessed knowledge of deliverance, and that the people may be given to rejoice in thee, in the God of their salvation. Oh, would it not be to thy honor? Oh, what a rest to the soul, and what a glory to thy name, and what a blessed confession that will come in the midst of the congregation. Come, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, that we may hear such news amongst this flock in the days in which we are living. Oh, that children may hear it yet from fathers and mothers. Oh, that fathers and mothers could hear it yet out of the mouth of babes. And that thou wouldst look upon all that need thee also in the needs and the cares of this life. Lord, supply in the needs of our school, for the sake of our youth, whom the devil attempts to take as his own. Lord, wilt thou thyself bind that strong man armed and cast him out? And wilt thou show to our youth the great vanity and emptiness that is in the world, and a great fullness that is to be found in thee, and that they might learn to seek thee in the days of their youth? Strengthen all the teachers, the principals. Remember those children that are not able to go to our own school. Wilt thou instruct them also? And Lord, wilt thou look on all those that have difficulties in learning? Wilt thou give them also a place by thee in the days of their youth to cry to thee for help? And that thou may give them also to experience that thou art alive, and that so that those children also may be drawn to thee in the days of their youth to seek that true wisdom. Remember all those that bring thy word over the length and the breadth of this world, those on the mission fields, our own and others. Oh, when they may truly be called by thee, Lord, and thou hast a purpose also. And wilt thou give them that they may come from the east and from the west, and that they may sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Strengthen them when they are far away from their loved ones. Help them in their labors, and all that may labor in thy kingdom, also those who are persecuted for thy name's sake. Oh, give them courage, strength, and boldness to go forward despite all the inventions of the devil. And wilt thou prosper thy word also in those places. Give us an impression of thy blessings in the freedom of our own land, and that it may not make us to be drowsy in the spiritual matters. Remember all handicapped ones that have crosses, those that are blind, lame, deaf, and dumb, those that are suffering illnesses, serious diseases, those that are widows, widowers, and orphans. Oh, a supply when man cannot supply, and when we cannot enter into their crosses, then thou hast borne the cross. And that it may be experienced in their life also, that thou art near. Lord, wilt thou remember all that are in the prisons, Give a true repentance. Remember our government and all those that judge in our land. Oh, cause us to return to thy law and to thy testimonies. Help us in this afternoon. Lord, we stand before it again. We are of yesterday, we know nothing. Lord, wilt thou help us? Be on our right and on our left, but not only to make it easy for us, no, but especially to give the understanding in the heart. Oh, that would be the greatest blessing. If a little word, one word, could be sanctified, could be blessed, that new birth, oh, then it will be a good day. Then it will be a day to be remembered. Lord, be in our midst. Take away all that is of man. Keep us from ourselves. Glorify thyself. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 263, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. He has brought salvation, He has made it known. And before the nations is His justice shown. We announce that the last collection at the last song today is for the disaster fund. Psalter 263, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, how necessary is the knowledge, the experimental knowledge of our misery. And yet we have to fear that many pass over this necessity much too lightly. So many words are spoken in this world without knowledge. And many are rejoicing when they have never been made sad. We cannot receive the knowledge of salvation without the knowledge of our misery. It is impossible. There is a foundation which is outside of us, but there is also a foundation which is laid in us. And that the foundation that is in the saving knowledge of our misery. That is the foundation for what needs to be learned in an experimental way further. There is no true joy without sorrow. There can be no healing when there never has been a wound. And there can be no reconciliation when there never has been a breach. But now, on the other hand, what happens to the sick when there is no physician? But then they die. What happens to a wound when that is allowed to continue bleeding? Then it leads only to death. What is a breach when there is no mediator? Yeah, that leads in the end only to a final, a complete separation, so that there is no coming together again. Thus, the knowledge of our misery that is so necessary, and yet it is not enough. And those that are truly wrought upon, they will know and they will experience that that is not enough. That true knowledge of our misery, that is in a spiritual way, that is doing the same thing as what the knowledge of sickness is doing in a natural way. And even our boys and girls, then they know what that is. What is that, boys and girls? That when you hear, when you feel that you are very sick, then what are you asking, mother, father? Then you say, mother, father, will you find for me a doctor? And then you are not content to lay in your sickness, no, because then you feel that you are going to die. And so that is also in a spiritual way. When it is right, and when that knowledge is a true spiritual knowledge of our misery, then there is no contentment with that knowledge itself. It is impossible, because it is the very nature of that knowledge that it is seeking out after a deliverance. The crowd of people They have tried to silence Bartimaeus. But the more they tried to silence him, we read the more that he is crying out after what? After a deliverance. And that is the very purpose of the knowledge of our misery. The Lord could save his children without all of that knowledge. But it pleases the Lord that he will have them cry out for deliverance. And then he cannot make them cry out for deliverance unless he is giving them the knowledge of that misery. Congregation, are there such people in our midst that may cry out, that are not content to remain in that state in which you were born, that have to be converted, and that cannot be converted? How long have you cried out? A whole day? A whole week? A whole month, a whole year, 10, 20 years, that you are crying out after deliverance, the Lord, he is in general not in a hurry. We are in a hurry. And yet the Lord will not leave the soul of that people destitute. What do we read in his word? He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their soul when death draws nigh. Was that ever your case? That death draws nigh. That is condemnation. That I have to go lost. Oh, that is when we read he saves their soul. And our instructors knew of such a time. We heard it. By the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. And yet they have continued. They have continued to look for a way. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? God will have his justice satisfied. Oh, what an answer. And we cannot make this satisfaction of ourselves. Did we ever learn it? We need a mediator. One that is very man, perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures. One that is also very God. Thus that soul that is continuing to seek that mediator. Is that with you too? Can you find yourself in that life that our fathers have laid out so clearly according to the word of God, the life of that true church? We find that life further in what we wish to consider in this afternoon, in Lord's Day 6. Lord's Day 6, question 16 through 19. Lord's Day 6, question 16 through 19. And then we will state first this afternoon our theme, which is the only mediator between God and his church revealed. First, the characteristics which are revealed, and we find them in questions 16 and 17. Question 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. And one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17, why must he in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. That is the characteristics which are revealed. Second, the person who is revealed, that is in question 18, who then is that mediator who is in one person, both very God and real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is the person who is revealed. And last, the means by which he is revealed. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the holy gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Thus, the only mediator between God and his church revealed, first, the characteristics, second, the person, and third, the means of this revelation. Why must he be in a very man and also perfectly righteous? And so we hear that concern Saul, and that he seeks, he continues to seek to enter into the mysteries of salvation. Is that now also our own life? Or is that doctrine of salvation, is that just a dry thing to us, just a dead doctrine? Or may we ever be given to see something? May we ever be given to feel something of the preciousness of that doctrine? When that doctrine may be revealed, when that doctrine may enter into our own heart. Calvin, he says, Luther, he says, doctrine that is heaven. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Thus, satisfaction, that is a doctrine that is in our days for the most part rejected. That man says, you will hear it, young people, the Lord Jesus, then he is just, he is a mere example. And that is an example for us to follow. Do you ever consider this? What that means? When man says that the Lord Jesus is a mere example, congregation, if the Lord Jesus is a mere example, if his death, if his suffering was not an atonement, if it was not a satisfaction unto God, his Father, on behalf of his church, what lies still upon his church? They have then to follow this example. They have still then to pay the price themselves. Because that means that the Lord Jesus has not paid their price. Thus it is a price which is still owing by that true church of God. And what is the experience of that church? What did Paul say? He says, "The good that I would, I do not. Who can follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can say what the Lord Jesus says? Which of you convinceth me of sin?" No, to say that the Lord Jesus, suffering and death is not an atonement, that is to deny our fall. That is to say that we don't need an atonement. That we only need a little improvement. We only need to redirect our life. But we don't need someone to pay for us. Thus, that is a vile doctrine. And it is a doctrine which destroys, completely destroys, all the comfort of the true church of God. Then Paul could not say, as he said, "We thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We read here that mediator must be very man. And why is that? That is to pay the price for man. Who was it that has sinned? That was man. And that is us in our covenant head Adam. And what did the Lord? What does the Lord say? "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Adam, as that representative head of man, he has passed on sin with all its consequences unto all of his own posterity. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men. Will God then require the payment for sin from the angels? Will God then accept the payment of sin from the beasts? We have read it together. That the blood of bulls and of goats that cannot put away sin, that sin remained on the conscience of man when the offerings were brought, that conscience was not made clear. As the conscience is made clear through the application of the atonement of that one sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why must he be very man? Let God be true and every man a liar. The Old Testament prophecies have pointed to the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will grow up, boys and girls, he will grow up as a tender plant, we read. There will be in him no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. I thought this morning, we spoke a little of Noah. I am so glad that I did not live in the time of Noah. Because what had I done? when that ark had been built in the backyard here of the church, then congregation, what had we done? And when we think about the time that the Lord Jesus was on the earth, and that he was truly very man and subject to like passions as we are, yet without sin, then sometimes I think the same. I'm glad I did not live in that time. Or what had I done? We have so much Pharisee in us that I think perhaps I had taken the side of the Pharisees instead of that side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very man. That the Lord Jesus had come into this world. That was the Old Testament prophecies. He had to be very man. By that he may be able to suffer. The Godhead, the divine nature, is not able to suffer. But we read in the Word of God that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thus, that mediator has to be wounded. That is, for the transgression of his church. He has to be bruised for the iniquity of his church. The chastisement of that church that has to lay upon that mediator, he must be very man. Why? For also the comfort of his church. As we read, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Or we cannot approach unto God. Thus God has given one in our own flesh, one who is not ashamed to call men his brethren, and therefore able to succor them that are tempted. Very man. But then we read further that he must be perfectly righteous, thus not like you and I know, and not like those that are supposedly without sin and those that are made saints in this world. Thus, it was not possible for God simply to make a choice of all mankind, just as we choose out of us a president or we choose a king for a country. And why not? Because we are conceived and born in sin ourselves. And a sinner cannot mediate. He cannot bring together when he himself is not with God. Moses attempted it. Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. Was that accepted by the Lord? It was impossible. Moses cannot take the place of that people. Moses cannot satisfy for himself. Much less can Moses satisfy for the church of God. No, it must be the just for the unjust, that he might bring them unto God. Paul says, such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, thus perfectly righteous. Very man and perfectly righteous. But why must he in one person be also very God? As the instructors are asking, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. O who is able to endure the wrath of God? We read so many times in the Word of God how that holy beings, they are, were the angels, for example, or even Christ himself, who has come in the form of a man, that they have come down, they have visited men on this earth. And then we can read of the impression, what's taking place in the heart of that sinful man, that they feel that they are not able to stand even before an ambassador of the Lord. Thus, what man would be able to endure that righteous wrath of God against sin? There are many people who will endure it. Who will endure it? Or will that be us that will come to bear that wrath of God? A congregation, we will never come out of it. That is impossible. And why not? You say, boys and girls, why not? Say, my father, when he gives me a punishment, and then he makes that punishment to fit the crime. Then there is not capital punishment. For, yeah, we would not call something a minor sin, but there is certainly a distinction in sins. Thus, how is it that even what we might call the smallest sin, even the thought of our mind, that for that sin that man deserves an eternal punishment? How is that? That is because of him against whom that we sin. Then it is not only that I sin against you, but it is because that I sin against God. And God, he is an infinite being. He is infinitely holy. He is infinitely righteous. So it is because of the character of that God, that infinite character of God, that every sin that is to be punished with an infinite punishment. But when the Lord would punish us in the way of magnitude, with an infinite punishment, then we will come to an utter destruction. But that shall not be. Because the soul of man that shall live on to all eternity, and therefore the punishment, because it cannot be borne in an infinite magnitude, must be born for an infinite time period, which is eternity. Eternity. For that reason, man, he will begin to bear the punishment of sin, but he will never come forth from it. It's impossible. The Lord Jesus had to be very God that he might suffer that infinite wrath of God against the sin of his church. Now you say, the Lord Jesus did not suffer to eternity. No, he suffered only for a time that began in his birth, in the humility of his birth, that ended in his resurrection. Thus, there was a short period of time. And that short period of time of the suffering of the wrath of God that has paid the price for the sin of his church. How is that possible? Then he did not suffer eternally. Why not? Because of his character. Because of who he is. That he does not need to suffer eternally. Because he is that infinite God. And it is because that he is that infinite God that he gave by his own being an infinite character to the payment of the sin of his people. For that reason, that mediator had to be very God. We would have to suffer eternally, but Christ did not need to suffer eternally. Congregation, who can fathom what God has provided for his own church? Very man, perfectly righteous, at the same time, very God. Those are the requirements that are necessary for the payment of the sin of the true church of God. And now, who is able to find such a one? But God has found such a one. God has provided such a one. Did that ever become a wonder to us? A wonder in a personal way? A wonder in our own life? By nature, it is no wonder. And why is that not a wonder? Because we don't need such a mediator. Because we still are able, we still have our own strength, we still have our own wisdom. But now to the people who need such a mediator. Oh, to that people, then what a wonder that becomes. When the Lord in his mercy, when the Lord in his time, is revealing unto that people. We see that in our second thought. That person. Who then is that mediator who is in one person, very God, and a real righteous man? Oh, is that also your question? Who then is that mediator? How can I be reconciled to God? How can man be just with God? Or are there those who in a great need? You hear you must believe in that Son of God. Oh yes. But there was a man, he was cast out of that temple. And he says, who is he, Lord? Who is he? That I might believe in him. Is that also the language of your own heart? Or do you need him, congregation, revealed to your soul? Because you do not know him. And because you cannot just take him, as so many are able to just take him, do you need to be given eyes to see him? Do you need to be given faith to believe in him? Oh, then you are privileged. Is that not a wonder? That you are not then among all those who can help yourself? Is that not a wonder? That you are among those who may hear Sabbath after Sabbath in our confession, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And that you may cry out of the need of your soul, O Lord, send thy Spirit to show him unto me. The Lord is such a surprising God. And he is coming to his church in the time that they least expect that he is coming. He is coming to his church just when they think that they are going to perish. Who then is that mediator? Who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. People of the Lord, do you remember? Do you remember that day? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that day that he was first revealed unto your soul? Oh, how wonderfully, oh, how powerfully that the Lord did open your eyes to behold him in all his beauty. Oh, when you may see him in your great need, when your eyes were so closed, and when the Lord has opened to you something of the preciousness, of the blessedness, of the necessity, of the suitability of the blessed mediator. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how was it in that day? We read in our catechism, not only for others, but also for me. That was the wonder to that man when he entered in at that gate. After he had come away from that Mount Sinai. And when he was completely cut off from every other way, and when the Lord may open to him, and when the Lord may say, I am the door. If any man may enter in by me, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. Oh, then he says, I rejoice and tremble, because then it is not for my neighbor only, no, but also for me. That is a day when the Lord owns us as our own. Oh, that is a day when the Lord is bringing with him everything for the soul of that people. We don't ask God's people if it is still so. We don't ask them if they can always believe that, no. Because the disciples, they also came in the storm. The Lord also had to say to the Apostle Paul, fear not, Paul. Oh, then what was lying in the heart of Paul? No, we don't ask if it has always remained so. But in that moment, when the Lord is opening unto his church, that grace that is found in his only begotten Son, then it is a wonder that they will never forget. And when he is coming, then he is bringing with him, congregation, everything for the salvation of his church, the way, the truth, and the life. That is what he shows himself to be. and that he is in himself, him that is so altogether lovely. Our instructors, they say with Paul here, he is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom. He is made unto us wisdom. Do you need that wisdom? Or do you know the way? Do you know the way? To whom is he made wisdom? That is, to a people who do not know the way. To a people who cannot find the way. To a people who are of yesterday and who know nothing. And when he is appearing in all his beauty, and then for that people to see that wonder of who God has provided for such a wretched creature as they are, oh, then they experience something of the depth, of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, whose ways are unsearchable and past finding out. Let us sing first. Psalter 422. 422. And then we'll sing just stanza 5. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. With steadfast step they walk, their countenances beaming with brightness of the light that from thy face is streaming. Exalted by thy might from depths of desolation, they praise for e'er thy name, thy justice and salvation. Psalter 422, stanza 5. He is made unto us righteousness. Congregation, what a wonder that that is in the life of that people. He is made unto us righteousness. And why such a wonder? We have said it before. In the moment of regeneration, then what is born? You should know that, boys and girls. What is born? Oh, then we begin to love God. A God whom we have sinned against. A God whom we have left in paradise. Do you have such a love in your heart to God? And that relation between God and our soul is now a broken, broken relation that you will feel. From that moment, then there is a desire that it could be made right between God and my soul. And what do we need then? Righteousness. Where shall we find it? We look here. Oh, that is where that pilgrim went. City of morality. And what happens? Oh, then slowly, usually, step by step, the Lord has to strip it all away. So that at that law, at that Sinai, they have to die. And their righteousness, that is filthy rags. And what does that mean? It means congregation forever. Forever to be separated from that God whom they love. Impossible to come into that communion that their heart desires. Because they have no righteousness. And now, to see, all to be shown, that righteousness of the Son of God. All then doctrine that will be sweet to your soul. And then the Lord, He can show you from step to step what the Lord Jesus has done. What a righteousness that He has brought in for His church to pay a price so impossible for us to pay. To keep a law that we cannot keep. All when the Lord would reveal Him. Then you understand to that people who cannot do without God. Who must be saved. And who cannot be saved. Then they see a beauty in that Son of God. When He is made to us righteousness, then it is to us. Who can fathom, that is to a person who experiences that they deserve to go lost forever. And then to see that so completely from the side of God that it pleased the Lord to accept the righteousness of His Son on my behalf, made unto us righteousness. There is, congregation, not one sin that is to be found by that people in that day. The psalmist, he says, my sin is covered. Before that moment, it was all sin. Everything becomes sin. But in that moment, that sin is wiped away. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And that is the experience of that people in the revelation of his only begotten Son. That they may see that they are forgiven. We said a little this morning. Oh, how shall it be to stand before that judge? But oh, to see how that he has paid that price and how that he has made satisfaction to that judge, that is giving rest, that is giving peace in the soul of the people. Do you think, young people, that the people, they will say, well, we are now forgiven, and now we can live a life as we wish? Oh, no. Why not? Because of love. Because of love to God, even as love to your father and mother, then you have no desire. And then especially when you feel something of that love of God in the payment of that price, and then you see and feel the evil of your sin. And then what is your desire? Oh, that I would never sin again. Never sin again. Will that happen? What does Paul say? Oh, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. They will experience the impossibility of it. That old man remains. And therefore, what do those people need? They need not only to be forgiven, no. They need also to be washed. That is something else. They need also that the fountain may be made right. They need also to be made fit. We said to the confession class students last week, there is a difference when you stand before a judge. Then you can stand as one who is guilty or innocent. It's one or the other. And that is what the judge is concerned about. But now when a man may be proclaimed innocent, congregation, and then he is free from the punishment of the law, then he still may be standing there, filthy and polluted. He may go free, but still filthy and polluted. Can he come that way into the presence of that holy God? No. Even when he has been forgiven, he needs more than this. He needs to be washed also. He needs to be cleansed because he is filthy. He has a corrupt heart. And now what do our fathers say? That he has made unto us righteousness and also sanctification. Sanctification. Oh, then he needs to be revealed also in this, that in him there is that holiness. So not only the payment, no, but also that holiness that is acceptable unto his Father, and by which that people are clothed in white robes and thereby made presentable, that they may come again into the full and blessed communion with their Maker. Our fathers, They say here, a full redemption. That is what is found in the revelation of that mediator. A full redemption. There is, congregation, nothing. Nothing missing from that people in that day. But we see we're out of time again. One last question. Whence knowest thou this? How do we know it? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Whence knowest thou this? Oh, do we desire to know it? Do you desire to know it, young people? Do you see any blessedness in this knowledge? Above all the knowledge in the world, you know where you will not find it? You will not find it in the bar. You will not find it in the movie theater. You will not find it in the places of vanity, which may be, I don't know you, but which maybe you are seeking in this world. You don't find it in the nature, because it speaks much about God in nature. But in nature, we find nothing about Christ. You will not find it in the law that is written in our hearts that has been greatly darkened, but does not speak about a mediator. We will not find it in our own heart. What is in our own heart? Broken covenant. That is all that we can find in our heart. Where will we find it? In the Word of God. In the blessed gospel. That is the revelation of God unto whom? To fallen mankind. Concerning the Son of God, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The gospel. What is the gospel? That is good news. That is not merely an offer, not merely an offer, which can be accepted or rejected by man. No. What is the gospel? It is, congregation, a proclamation. It is a declaration. It is an announcement. It is, congregation, an oath. It is an oath that is sworn by God. A declaration of what? Of a great wonder. What is that great wonder? The forgiveness of sin for the chiefest of the sins. Only for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the declaration. Did that ever become good news to you? Oh, for most of us, it is not good news. And why is it not good news? Why not? Because we are not the chief of sinners. And when we are not the chief of sinners, oh, then there is no good news for us. But you know who that was the greatest wonder to? That was to the Apostle Paul. Oh, then for him, it was such a wonder. Why? Oh, did he come for people such as I? So great? Who have persecuted the church of God? Is that possible? Oh, that was good news to him. And now it is by faith that it becomes a great wonder to that whole church of God. To whom? It is to those who may receive a congregation by a true faith. And who are they? Oh, they are the publicans and sinners who have to smite upon their breast and who must cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and those they go to their house justified. Oh, the gospel, a wonder. It was not a wonder to the Pharisees because they had no sin, the Lord Jesus said. It was a wonder to those who had sinned. It was a wonder for the lame, for the blind, for the deaf, and for the dumb who could not help themselves. And so also for those spiritually lame, blind, deaf, and dumb, the greatest wonder, that gospel. A wonder to those not who have rights, no. But a wonder to those who have lost all of their rights. And who must cry only, mercy is my only hope. Mercy is my only plea. And for them, oh, the gospel of free and sovereign grace, without money and without price, to those people, that gospel becomes a wonder. And those are they who will return. And they will say, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? O congregation, do not forsake that word of God. Therein is found the law. We heard the necessity that we might know what we have sinned against God. Therein is found that blessed gospel. Therein is declared that blessed message of free, absolutely free, and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, may the Lord make that the greatest wonder in our life, through the revelation of his only begotten Son. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, apply it. Oh, it is all so full of shortcomings. Lord, wilt thou bring thy word in our hearts? We need to be born again. And thou art God, and thou art so all-powerful. One word, Lord, that may stay with us, that the birds could not pluck away, and that the cares of this world could not choke, but that may go with us when we go to sleep, and that may arise with us again in the morning, that may take away our false rest and peace, and that may make us seek after that free mercy. Oh, reveal thy Son in the life of the destitute and forgive all our iniquities. Be with us further this day. Help thy servants in the sister congregations. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Remember yet that child under the surgery in this coming week. Oh, help, Lord. Remember us all in our natural circumstances in this world. Keep us all from sin and evil. Keep us from danger and harm. Convert us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 283, stanzas 1 and 2. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker. And all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies. His pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1 and 2 of Psalter 283. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.